Praise the Lord, church. Let the redeemed say so. It's also good to have, you can be seated. It's also good to have Darren and Felicia Sistrick here with us. This is Jeff and Linda Neesom's daughter and son-in-law. So it's so great to have you back in town with us. Also, with the Save Our Children's auction we'll be doing tonight, we'll be, I believe, auctioning off a barbecued dinner, family dinner. I think up to 20 to 25 people. My wife and I will be hosting that. I went to Texas about a month and a half ago, and I brought back a new smoker. And boy, does it smoke good food, Brother Hawk. Oh, yes. And if you're wondering why I always get up here and talk about food, if you just listen to Bishop, you kind of know where I got that from. The hot dog doesn't fall very far from the cart. Oh, this past week we had once a year we have a statewide ministers conference, and many of our ministers were up there. We had some great services. Brother Stan Gleason, which is one of our assistant superintendents of our organization, spoke, and he just did a great job, and he spoke of making disciples. And we're going to cover some of this at a little bit later of a date. And many of you know that I've been appointed as well to oversee the construction projects as well as some of the maintenance projects at our church camp. How many of you ever been up to Shawano to our church camp? And so we've got some issues with some of the buildings up there and some things that we want to do to improve the campground. And I've been asked to take and oversee this. And Wednesday night, I'm going to spend a little bit of time covering some of this with you. We have a promotional video that Brother Putnam, our superintendent, put together and did a tremendous job. And I know many of you attend camp, and all the upgrades that we wish to do up there will make that camp experience much richer for all of us. So I'm excited about this. So Wednesday night, please make an effort to be here. Also, this past Friday night, we had our monthly prayer meeting. How many of you were able to make it to our monthly prayer meeting? There was such a powerful move of God, and at the end of our prayer meeting, I went over our fasting schedule for the next 10 days. And starting tonight, officially, I know some of you started this morning, which is fine. Starting tonight at midnight, it goes from the 11th through the 19th. We'll be entering into a season of fasting again. This will just be 11 days. And we'll be doing our four different types of fasts as we did on our first fast of the year, our 21-day fast. We'll be doing the Daniel's fast. So those of you that are familiar with that and would like to do the Daniel's fast, continue with that. We also have the family fast, which is fasting one meal a day, at least one meal a day with your family. And we're asking the parents to maybe consider a little bit more than just the one meal a day, maybe fasting a challenge fast where you would fast maybe 3 days or fast. If you've never fasted 3 days, I'm challenging you to fast 3 days. And if you've never fasted 5 days, I want to challenge you to fast for 5 days. And 7 days and then 11 days if you've never fasted. I do want to encourage you to challenge yourself, because our focus on this fast is going to be unity. And I know a lot of times we talk about unity. Also, one other fast, the working man's fast, which is an every other day fast. For those of you men and ladies that work and you have very physical jobs, it's sometimes very difficult to fast 11 days or 10 days or whatever it may be with expending a lot of physical energy. So we have the working man's fast, which is every other day fast. But our focus is on unity and being in one mind and one accord. And as we go into this next phase, this next dimension, this church, I believe that we have entered into a new dimension. There are various levels of the dimensions that God takes us through. And I believe that God is desiring to empower us as a church. He's desiring to empower us as individuals, as families, as ministries. And in order for Him to empower us, in order for Him to, for His power to flow through us in a very fluid manner, we need to be in unity with one another and in unity with Him. And so I want to encourage you. How many of you have ever, everyone's just going to have to raise your hand on this, but how many of you have ever gone out, how many of you have gone out to eat this past week? How many of you this past month, you've gone out to dinner? And I know we're talking about food again right before a fast. I told someone this morning, I said, I'm going to go out for lunch today, and I'm going to start eating, and I'm not going to stop till after service. I'll take a little break for service tonight. I'm going to build up a little bit, go into this with a little momentum, little storage. You know what I'm talking about there. We go out to eat, and we have our food, and we have our meal, and your taste buds are going to get watery on this one. You order that ribeye steak. And you take and that ribeye steak and it's sautéed in a garlic butter, and you have those little red baby potatoes or baby red potatoes on the side, and they got that little green stuff sprinkled on it that tastes so good. I don't know if it's parsley or sage or just whatever they put on it, but it tastes so good. And some of you guys can bring your tongues, put them back in your mouth right now, and perhaps you have that salad. My wife and I went out for dinner on Monday night. We were in Plymouth. We had gone up to Shano on Monday morning, and we had gone over the campground and all of the projects, made sure everything wintered well over the winter and such, and we stopped on the way back at Plymouth before we went to district conference, and we had stopped at a little Italian restaurant, and I'm telling you, they had the absolute best salad I have ever eaten in my entire life. The chicken parmesan was good, but that salad, they brought it out. It had spinach, a salad. I love spinach. So it was a spinach salad, had some other pretty little greens mixed in with it that I don't know the name of it, but they tasted really good. And they had this maple vinaigrette sauce that they drizzled, dressing that was drizzled over the top of it, but it had really thin sliced pears that were so delicious. And as I began to bite into that salad, I'm just like, oh man, this is so good. And then buried within the salad, it had pecans that were soaked in some type of a cinnamon sugar and dried out, and it was so good. And there were little raisins sporadically throughout the salad. And as I began to eat this salad, I thought, man, I don't want to eat anything else. This is so good. Oh, every bite you take, it just made my taste buds sing happy songs. They had happy thoughts. And I look down and I'm like, oh no, there's only one bite left. It's all gone. What am I going to do? And the host comes out and collects the plates, and she looks at the disappointment that was on my face, and she looks at me and she says, dessert. And I'm like, oh, dessert, what do you have? And she brings out this plate of desserts, and normally I'm not a big dessert person, but I love tiramisu, and she had this homemade Italian tiramisu, and I'm like, I've got to try that. So she brings out the tiramisu, and she picks up the other plates, and she says, I want you to keep your fork, because the best is yet to come. You see, as long as we go through life, and as long as we try to fix our problems ourselves, we can only at best make things worse. But if you let God take control of your life, everything is gonna be all right. everything is going to be all right. Just like the song says, all right, he'll make it all right. But I want to tell you something this morning. You got to stop fooling yourself into believing that you are in something that you cannot get out of. Because I want to encourage you this morning. I want you to keep your fork because the best is yet to come. We read in the New Testament, we read in the book of John, chapter 2, verses 1 through 11, and Jesus is at a wedding feast. And there at their feast, they ran out of wine, and Mary, the mother of Jesus, told the servants to do whatever he asked of you to do. And Jesus told them to fill all of their empty water pots with water. I've never paid this much attention to this before, but notice this detail here. He did not ask them to fill their empty wine skins with water. When you look at the ancient ways of storing wine, it was stored in a small leather flask, and it was called a wine skin. It was in small amounts. It could be properly aged as well as properly sealed. But the Jesus, when he said, bring forth your empty water pots. Water was stored in pots that had large capacity, and Jesus asked for them to fill those pots with water. Now, when you look at that, the scripture tells us that each pot held between 2 or 3 firkins of water apiece. I went into my ancient dictionary and looked up what a firkin was. And according to Google, 2006, firkin is 9 gallons of water. 9 gallons of water. And each one of those water pots, there was 6. So you take 2 to 3 firkins apiece, and you do the math, and it's anywhere from 108 to 162 gallons of water. That's a lot of water. No doubt, as you picture in your mind Mary, the mother of Jesus, she knew who her son was. She reassured the disciples and no doubt the guests at the feast that be patient, folks. Keep your forks because the best is yet to come. As Jesus began to take and fill the water pots, and they'd taken the water pots to the master of the feast, and he began to pour out the water out of the water pots. Instead of water coming out, it was wine. It was not just any wine. It wasn't cheap wine, but it was good wine. It was the best wine, and it was 182 or 162 gallons of pristine, lip-sipping, love-it-smelling wine. Mary says, keep your forks, because the best is yet to come. We can move on into the Gospel of Mark. Mark chapters 4, verses 37 through 41. Jesus and his disciples are out on the Sea of Galilee, and Jesus is tired, no doubt, from the hours spent in ministry, and he lies down in the boat. And there in the boat, as the waves slowly begin to rock, he drifts off into sleep. And I can see as his disciples head farther out into the water. And if you've ever been out on the lake, in the lake, when you head out, they say red sky in the morning, sailors take warning. Red sky at night, sailors delight. And no doubt it was earlier in the morning when they headed out onto the Sea of Galilee, and the water was calm as glass. A slight ripple as it rippled against the boat, and they headed out into the deep. And as they headed out, the winds begin to pick up, and the waves begin to roll, and the spray of the water as it picked up momentum. And as the waves rolled, before long, the disciples realized that they were too far out, and they were in trouble. They were in over their heads. The storm had become too much for them to handle. Perhaps today, the storms that are in your life are far too much for you to deal with. And the disciples to look at the bottom of their boat, and there Jesus Christ was sound asleep. Sometimes we go through life and we feel that God is so far from us. We feel like, God, are you asleep today? I'm crying out to you, God, are you asleep? And there the disciples looked at the bottom of the boat and Jesus sleeping, unaffected by the wind, unaffected by the tossing and the turning of the vessel. And they begin to cry out to Jesus, Master, do you not even care if we perish? And Jesus wakes up, no doubt, looks out around him, looks at the fear in the eyes of his disciples. And I can see as he stands up and he looks out into the wind and he looks into the waves. And as the waves begin to splash up over and wet his garments, Peter, John, and Andrew, and his hands on men, he looks at them and he says, do not fear, don't despair, don't dread. Keep your fork, brothers. Keep your fork, sisters, because the best is yet to come. And as Jesus stood out, he lifted his hands out over the problem that they were faced, and he said, peace, be still. And they were marveled. Even the winds and the waves obey him. We can speak to the situation in our lives today. And as Jesus spoke to the storm, we can speak to the storms in our lives. And we can call out to him and we can say, peace, peace, be still. We read in the book of John and another fishing story. I want to set the scene just a little bit here, if I could, reading from John 21, chapter 3. Simon Peter saith unto him, I go a fishing. They said unto him, we also go with thee, meaning a few of the other disciples, and they went forth and entered into a ship immediately, and that night they caught nothing. Now you have to understand as we set this scene that this was after the crucifixion of Jesus Christ. He had been crucified. He had been buried. He had spent 3 nights in the belly of the earth and he had resurrected in resurrection power, and the disciples, having already received a new commission in John chapter 20 verse 21, as Jesus told them, as my Father hath sent me, so even so shall I send you. But Peter being a bit discouraged, Peter being a bit frustrated, perhaps his mind in a distance, he is thinking of the denial of Jesus Christ. At a distance, he can see the look of the face of Jesus as he cried out and cursed to the young lady that I do not know this man. Perhaps he can still feel the bitter taste of the tears as they ran down his face. He was frustrated, he was angry, and he was disappointed in himself, having failed in all of the expectations that Jesus had of him. He decided that maybe it was time to go back to fishing. Maybe it was time to go back to the only thing that he had ever known. Every time in his life when things had come against him, perhaps, and he had become frustrated, he had become angry at himself, he would seek the solace of the waters. Have you ever been discouraged and decided that it was time to just throw in the towel, that it was time to just quit? I know many times in my life I've become frustrated with my actions and with my failures. And as the frustration sets in, I begin to realize that maybe this is not what I am supposed to be. Maybe this is not where I am supposed to go. Maybe I'm not just exactly what God had called me to do. And maybe God, just maybe, it's time for me to go back to the only thing that I know to do. Maybe it's time for me to go back and start digging some holes and putting in some plumbing. But I want to tell you, friend, this morning, that no matter what you have gone through, no matter what kind of trial, no matter what kind of pressures you have, God has called you, and it's time for you to keep your fork, because the best is yet to come. think sometimes that maybe, perhaps just maybe, there's someone better that needs to take my place. I have failed you, God. I cannot do this. We have life experiences. We have, sadly, as we look at God, we say, God, I can't do this. You've got this all wrong, God. You've got it all wrong. So sadly, we begin to fold up those chapters of our lives and we begin to place them into the one of the many failed storage containers we call life or life's experiences. And sadly, we move on. All the while, God is calling out to us. All the while, God is saying, hang on, son. Hang on, daughter. Hang on, child. Don't quit. Don't walk away. Keep that fork. Keep that fork. You don't understand what I got coming next. You don't understand. Your plate may be empty right now, but I want to challenge you to keep your fork because the best. The best is yet to come. So here we find Peter trapped in a very similar set of circumstances. He gathers together all of his fishing stuff and he throws it all in a boat and he heads out into the waters to do the only thing that he knows what to do, and that is to fish. Yet knowing deep down in his heart, as it echoes throughout his mind and his memory, he knows that he was called by Jesus Christ from a life of fishing, and he was called into a life of fishing for men. And having left all that behind, he wanted to follow after Jesus. And then we have Jesus, as he says to them, then Jesus saith unto them, children, have ye any meat? And they answered him, no. And he said unto them, cast the net on the right side of the ship, and ye shall find. And they cast therefore, and now they were not able to draw it for the multitude of fishes. One side of the net, the one side of the boat per se, they had an empty plate and they had a fork. And Jesus was telling Peter, I want you to hang on to that fork, Peter. Don't throw it away just yet, because you take that net and you throw it on the other side of the boat and you will have more on your plate than what you could ever imagine or handle. Here I believe that Jesus was trying to get through to Peter perhaps one last time. He knew his days were limited. He knew that his time was at a very precious minimum. And he says, Peter, I have called you. Peter, I have a plan for you. I have called you to be a fisher of men. Do you not understand, Peter? Do you not understand? He was trying to tell Peter, Peter, you cannot go back. You cannot go back to your fishing. You cannot go back to your boat. It's time to leave your nets behind, because I have a different purpose for you and I have a better plan for your life. Listen to me, Peter. Don't be discouraged. Keep your fork, Peter. Keep your fork, Peter, because you're going to need it. Because the best, your best is yet to come. Perhaps today you have given up on what God wants you to do. Perhaps you feel that it doesn't matter anymore. I want to challenge you this morning. Do not quit. Perhaps you feel that it doesn't matter anymore. Maybe you feel that someone else could do a better job than you. Don't quit. Don't quit. Perhaps you're getting tired and life's circumstances are wearing you out, don't quit. Don't quit. Keep your fork. Your plate may be empty. Keep your fork, because God says the best is yet to come. We move on to the book of Acts, chapter 1, verses 4 through 12. And being assembled together with them, commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, which saith he, you have heard of me. For John truly baptized with water, but ye shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days hence. Then they therefore were come together. They asked of him, saying, Lord, wilt thou at this time restore again the kingdom to Israel? They were wanting to know, Lord, are you gonna restore again the days, the glory days of our past? Are you gonna restore again all that we've lost through conquest, and all that we have over the years, we've been conquered by so many different people and nations? Lord, are you going to restore that back again unto us? And Jesus said, it is not for you to know the times nor the seasons which the Father hath put in his own power. But ye shall receive power. He's telling them at this point in time, it's not for you to know, but I want you to understand one thing, James Hawk. You need to keep your fork. He's telling them there as he stood on that mountain that day, he's saying, ye shall receive power. You need to keep your fork. You need to keep your fork. After that, the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth. And when he had spoken these things, while they beheld, he was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight. And while they looked steadfastly toward heaven, as he went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel, which also said, ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up into the heaven? This same Jesus, which is taken up from you into heaven, shall so come in like manner as you have seen him go into heaven. They're saying to these men and women there, keep your fork, because he's coming back. Keep your fork. You don't understand. There's more to this meal. The best is yet to come. And they returned unto, and then returned they unto Jerusalem from the mount called Olivet, which is from Jerusalem a Sabbath day's journey. Jesus was telling his disciples, listen, you have experienced some great things with me. We have seen together the dead raised. We have seen the deaf ears unstopped. We have watched the lepers cleansed. We have seen the lame walk. We have seen the blinded eyes opened. We have walked on water together, Peter. We, as 12, we have fed the 5,000. We watched Lazarus come out of the grave after being dead. But Peter, but James and John and the rest of the disciples, I want to challenge you today, don't put that fork away yet, because the best is yet to come. And we move on to Acts chapter 2. And then the day of Pentecost was fully come. They were all with one accord and one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as a fire, and it sat upon each of them. And they were all filled. And they were all filled. They kept their fork. They kept their fork. They kept their fork. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Don't put that fork away just yet, because the best is yet to come. I have one more in closing today. As our musicians can come, I want to take and I want to close out with this message. It's a story out of the Old Testament, and we're reading from Genesis chapter 32, and we're going to start in verse 21 and read through verse 30. And so the present came, so went the present over before him, and he lodged the night in the company. And he arose up that night and took his two wives and his two women servants and his 11 sons and passed over the fjord Jabbok. And he took them and sent them all over the brook and sent them over that he had. And Jacob, this is a story about Jacob. If you remember, perhaps, Jacob and Esau. Jacob had quite an issue in his life. He was between a bit of a rock and a hard spot here in his life. And Jacob was left alone. And there wrestled a man with him until the breaking of the day. And when he saw that he prevailed not against him, he touched the hollow of his thigh, and the hollow of Jacob's thigh was out of joint. And as he wrestled with him, so here we have Jacob as he wrestled with God, and he wrestled all night long, and he said to him, "Let me go, for the day breaketh." And he said, Jacob says, "I will not let you go except thou bless me." He's desperate. He's in desperate need. And I can imagine, if I could, in my own words, say, "Jacob, don't let go of your fork. Don't let go of your fork. You don't have any understanding as of yet. It's going to cost you something. There's going to be a scar placed upon your life. You are going to have a scar that you will carry with you. But don't let go of your fork, because the best is yet to come." And he said unto him, the angel asked Jacob, "What is thy name?" And he said, "Jacob." And he said, "Thy name shall be called no more Jacob." You see, one of the best things about God is when God touches your life, he changes your life. "Thy name shall be called no more Jacob, but Israel." You see, Jacob meant surplanter, deceiver. "Your name shall be called Israel, for a prince hast thou power with God and with man, and hast prevailed." And Jacob asked him and said, "Tell me, I pray thee, thy name." He said, "Wherefore it is that thou dost after thy name." And he blessed him there. And Jacob called the name of the place Peniel, "For I have seen God face to face, and my life is preserved." As you stand to your feet this morning, God is here, and he desires to see you face to face. We find that Jacob has a problem. He's between that rock and hard place in his life. You may find yourself in this very position here this morning. You see, his uncle Laban is behind him, after him, and his brother, whom he tricked, is about to approach him, and all the sins of his past have begun to catch up with him. He's afraid for his family. He's afraid for his own life. He does not know what to do. You see, he is on his way to meet his brother Esau for the first time in some 20 years after he stole the inheritance. He stole the blessings of his father. He stole his birthright. And going to meet Esau, not knowing what to expect from him, not knowing if his brother is going to kill him or forgive him. He finds himself in this spot. I wonder today if anybody here, how many of us have been in a tight spot and we did not know how we were going to get out of it. You see, if you want to be set free bad enough, you are serious enough, then you need to cry out to God in prayer, and God will hear your cry. And He will come running to you. At this time, I would like for our altar team, our altar workers, to come and just line up here in the front like we have in the times past. And if you here this morning are in a position of a hard spot and you are seeking a way out, I want to challenge you to keep your fork, because the best, your best, is yet to come. The psalmist David penned these words: I sought the Lord, and He delivered me from all of my fears. You see, what God was saying to David, God is saying to you and I this day: save that fork. Save that fork. For the best, your best, my best, our best, is yet to come. Won't you come this morning? Won't you come? Are you seeking an answer from God? Is your plate empty? Are you frustrated in your life? Are you frustrated at where you are? You don't have to be backslidden. You don't have to be lost. God is seeking to change. God is seeking to fill. God is seeking to pour out. He's seeking to pour out in your life. But you got to come to Him. You got to come to Him. You got to come to Him this morning. Won't you come? Won't you come?